Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Inside Egosoft podcast. I'm recording this episode on Thursday, June 17th, 2021. And boy oh boy, it's been a week. Let me give you a quick summary on the latest before we jump into this episode's chat. So most importantly, we've started the first beta of the upcoming 4.10 update for X4 Foundations this week. As we've mentioned in previous episodes of the Inside Egosoft podcast, 4.10 will introduce two bigger new features, the Multiverse Team Seasons and the Custom Game Start. However, neither of these two is included in the first version of the 4.10 beta. They will be added to later beta versions. That's a fairly normal thing for us. If you've participated in previous beta tests, you know this. We're adding and changing things during the beta test and thus release new beta versions more or less regularly. Now, not having those two big new features at the start of the 4.10 beta doesn't mean that its changelog isn't impressive though. In response to your feedback on the 4.0 update, we have fixed, among other things, various issues associated with mining, trading, and station management. Another improvement we have made is to our graphic engine's asset management in X4 Foundations, which should result in better use of graphics memory and help with things like asteroids popping in. If you're interested in seeing all the other things that we've been working on for 4.10, please do check the full changelog, which you can find on the news section of the X4 Steam page or our forum at forum.egosoft.com. And if it's the first time you hear about these two new upcoming features, make sure to listen to the previous episodes of the Inside Egosoft podcast. Now, if you want to participate in the beta and haven't participated in previous betas, first off, please head to our forums and carefully read the section about the risks and rules involved with participating in a beta. In that same subforum, you will find the necessary practical instructions for participating. I'm going to add a link to the show notes, so please click that if you want to find out more about the whole topic. If you decide to participate, first off, thank you, but please make sure that you share your feedback in the public beta feedback forum on forum.egosoft.com. That's the spot that the team is watching and reacting to. Alrighty, the second big news of this week is connected to this episode's guest. I've invited Ketra for a chat, and here we go. Okay, hi Kat. Welcome to the Inside Egosoft podcast, to our episode 3.
Yes, hello.
Nice to have you. For our audience who have probably already seen your name in our forums or in some of the news about X3 Farnham's legacy, can you quickly introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do at Egosoft? And of course, most importantly, what has been your first X game?
Right. So yes, most people will know me from being moderator and general DevNet collaborator and modder on the X forums over what feels like a lifetime ago. My first X game would be X Beyond the Frontier, which was back in the 2000s for me. Mm-hmm. I work at Egosoft about a year now. Mainly I do support tasks and try to pester people and help with ideas and various smaller things. Still, I'm hoping in the future to be more proactive once this project is over.
Right, and the project that you name is X3 Farnham's Legacy.
Right.
That's the main reason why I have invited you over, Kat, is because you've been involved in this project in a big way. Now, if any of our listeners have completely missed this whole thing, can you tell the audience what X3 Farnham's Legacy is?
Yes, X3 Farnham's Legacy, a community-based project. Yeah, that is basically an expansion to X3, Albion, Prelude, Terran Conflict, kind of a mixed bag of all those. And yeah, it iterates on the existing X3 engine. And we expanded several existing features and added a few more to experiment a bit based on some ideas we had from mods and in general from the community.
So, but it's something that people start anew, right? Like it's not something where they load their old save game in from Albion Prelude or something like that, but rather they start a new game with this.
Yes, basically it's the same style as Albion Prelude already was in comparison to, as it was an expansion to Terran Conflict, but right. You would have to start again. So someone coined this phrase, expand alone, which was an odd way to mix both things that explain the thing that it is an expansion because it uses assets and stuff from previous games, but you have to start. It's like a new game.
Okay, got it. And probably the best thing, like apart from all the cool content, of course, what makes it a very easy decision to look into it is that it's available for free.
Yes, I guess that helps.
It does hurt.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we decided to put it out for free because it is this community project, or this project that has been developed by these very motivated community members. And in the end, we decided to add a donation pack to it on both Steam and GOG. And the donations that come in through that will be forwarded by Egosoft to Médecins Sans Frontières, to Doctors Without Borders. And we just announced today about that the 1.2 update is available, and also that in that turn, we have made the first donation of 2,500 euros to Médecins Sans Frontières. So thanks to everybody who already bought that. And you can still do that, of course, until the end of August, I think, as I wrote into the news. But of course, if you want to, you can also donate straight away on their website without going through Steam and GOG. Anyway, now I've got a little sidetracked. This whole project started around 5 years ago, right?
Yes, the first pitch of should we do something like this was around early 2016. So I think even January, people, when they hear 5 years, they think, wow, 5 years. But projects like this obviously have some downtimes, so there are, it's not like we worked every day for 5 years on this, but there were some more and less active periods depending on real life and stuff like that. But yeah, 5 years is about accurate.
Take me back to that moment, like when you say you pitched it, who pitched what to whom exactly? And then how, like, was it a forum post or was it an email to somebody at Egosoft? Or
It's a funny story because it's a mixture of several things coming together. Mm-hmm. I was always very active in trying to find pitching new ideas, even to Egosoft to include in the games themselves. We had ideas forums, and one of the good things about being a modder is that you can, you know, experiment and maybe you come up with an idea. So you pitch ideas, then also maybe some ideas are pitched to you from users and from community members. And I think also in general, there was always this lingering idea that we should do, well, Egosoft should do something based on X3 again, even though development on X4 was already undergoing. And so the culmination of all these things, several conversations, several pitches, let's say, led to that we said, okay, a core idea we had, it was said, okay, this sounds interesting, so let's go. And then we pestered a few people like Julian and Matt, Lucas, and other community members that if they wanted to participate, if they want to join with ideas or collaborate. And then we just started collecting a huge amount of ideas first. And once we had all these collected, then we started to filter them out. What is feasible? What is not feasible to do? How much can we do on our own? Because again, some things you would require more effort from people that have access to various parts of the game. Mm-hmm. And so once that structure was done, then we just went on and started to implement those ideas as we went along.
And when you pitched it, what was the, let's say, like the very summarized reason why you wanted to do it? Like with what basic idea did you go into that pitch?
Yes, the basic idea is always trying to reinvent ways to play the same game. Mm-hmm. So basically the idea was how do we can do a fresh take on an existing franchise like that, like the X3 games. So yeah, the main first pitch was to take the whole concept and turn it on its head. So you have to think, many of these people have played hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of Terran Conflict or Albion Prelude already. So why would I want to start a new game and do the same? So That was the main idea. So how do we make this somewhat fresh? What features can we add that would be sensible to give people a new experience into a familiar setting?
And let's say somebody who's listening right now hasn't downloaded and played it yet. What's the number one reason why they should? Like, what's your number one favorite thing that you did differently or did that makes it super attractive to play Farnham's Legacy?
Right. Those are two questions. One question is what I want and what I like, and this will probably not be the main thing. I already know from the forums. The one I'm most proud and I'm the most interested in is the diplomacy stuff with the dynamic relations, with the agents, with giving player abilities to interact with the factions without having to resort into action because the game already has a lot of action. So for me, it was important that we have something that allows players to be more still active and have impact in things, but in a different way.
Okay.
Obviously, this is for me because it was an interesting new idea, but it is an intrusive system, especially the dynamic relations, which a lot of players on the forums disagree on the level of impact it should have, but it's an X game. So we will never have complete agreement on anything.
Right.
So, but I understand people's take on it. And we, again, now looking back, we could obviously make different things or even iterate better on it. But I'm still very proud of how much it changes the game dynamics. And if people are prepared to live with these consequences, I think it will take the most new approach to an X game. So this one will disrupt this a bit and hopefully give them a new playing experience.
I'm talking to you now about this project, but you already mentioned some names earlier of other people that were involved, of course. Would you like to shout out some names of the other team members and say a few words about what they did in the project?
Yeah, sure. I have to shout out Matt or Psychro, as most people will know him on the forums. And he did the brunt of the work because he's the only one that has, from the community side, access to KC, which allows to make changes to the game that scripters or modders like me normally would not have access to. So the whole diplomacy thing is an idea that I had, but without Matt's help, I would never be able to implement it the way how complex it is now. So great shout out to him also because of his work on opening up the game to modding. He introduced a huge amount of new features that probably most people never will see unless they are interested in modding because that's just him. And Julian, obviously, he wrote the stories, especially the phase one and phase two stories. He's the text person. He writes good texts and good stories. He was crucial for us to have consistent narrative throughout especially the first plot. Yeah, then we had other collaboration with ideas. I mentioned Lucas, for example. He had a few ideas and we brainstormed a lot of the random sector management that we wanted to do. So we had quite a lot of back and forth ideas with him. We had some assets from Alex Vanderbilt. So we have some new sector backgrounds and some suns and planets that, you know, to make things also a bit fresher from the looks. And we had some help from Ecosoft people like Marcus, who made a Terran ship for us. Lino gave us some assets as well, the player HQ being the most important one, and a reward ship, which I won't spoil for those that don't have played stuff yet. Klaus obviously helped us a lot, especially in releasing things and preparing all the XA stuff. He was quite a lot of help. CBJ, I have to shout out because he was patient enough to coordinate this madness over the the years. Yeah, there's probably more people that I'm blanking now, but yeah, that's the ones I can remember the most.
Cool. Now that 1.2 is out, and we put into the news today that it's the end of the project. How are you feeling now? Like looking back on the years of putting it together and then of course also the 1.5 months now after the release.
Yes, it's mixed feelings, I guess. Sad to say, I'm relieved it's done.
Mm.
5 years having this in the back of your head starts to weigh on you. So that part is a good thing, that it's over and we can, you know, give it to the masses and lean back a bit. The other side is it's an excellent experience. It's a very, very special experience I had, collaborating with a lot of people I would consider them friends. Yeah, so it has this duality about one side, I'm a bit sad that this ends, but on the other, I'm relieved that we can move on and do other things in other places.
Yeah, it's such a cool story. I mean, me coming into EUsoft and, you know, hearing from Bernd about the projects that I would be working on at the start or over the next couple of months, and Fun's Legacy already popped up in there. I remember that quite well. Hearing about this concept of these guys from the community working on it, you know, for years and years, and it's really something special, I think. And you can see that in the reactions of the players too. Like the comments have been really positive. People are really grateful for this project. And I think, yeah, you guys can be really proud about what you did there.
Yes, I'm very proud. I'm also very happy that people enjoyed. Again, there will be some disagreements on specifics, but
sure, there's always...
We have an active modding community. I hope some people will find inspirations. You know, who knows, maybe in a few months, some people decide to create content for that. So, and we keep this alive from that side, but in a less official capacity than.
Right.
But still, it's open for that. So it's not an end, but it's an end on an official basis.
Now, in today's announcement, we emphasized as well that we still want to make a Linux version of the game. But I guess we can't say anything specific about when that will be available, right?
Yes, we should not do that because it's on hands of people that are very busy. So it's planned, and we are here, the Linux crowd, and they are not forgotten. And yeah, but the best we can say is as soon as possible.
Right. Okay. Kat, I have a couple more personal questions that I always meant to ask you. So now I'm just doing it using this podcast format. You have this charming Swiss accent, yet I know that you live in Portugal. What's the story behind that? How did that come about?
So I am Portuguese. I'm a Portuguese person. I was born in Portugal from Portuguese parents that moved to Switzerland in the late 70s.
Okay.
I grew up in Switzerland most of my life, so this very strong Zurich accent keeps popping up in Germanic languages. So every time any language has some resemblance to Germanic, the Swiss accent pops up and says, here I am, I'm the boss.
And so you decided at some point that you wanted to go see that other side of yours, experience it for yourself, or
the longing to go home is strong, because also my parents were always adamant that, you know, we are here, you know, for as short as possible to get our lives somewhat improved, and then the moment we can, we move out, and they did. And then a few years later, when I was then alone, yeah, the longing to your homeland starts to kick in, and and the weather here is much better.
I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine, but unfortunately, I've never been to Portugal myself yet. If I were to ask you what's the coolest or the best thing about Portugal?
Yeah, the weather is sure usually the one that yeah. Can say we have probably the most sun hours per year that I think most European countries.
Yeah.
Yes, very chill country. Yeah, for me, obviously, it's different because, again, I am at home here, and there are
right.
many things that are not so good, but you can, if it's your home, it's you can live with the faults. But yeah, the weather and people is the, and this chill nature of, you know, yes, stuff happens, but, you know, let's not get too worked up about it. So that's the thing I think I like the most. Even though, again, I'm very Swiss in that area, which irks me then when that things are not as organized as they should be. But yeah,
right.
So, yeah, it's weird, but yeah.
Again, coming to the touristy part, like if you would have to tell me what should I do for my first Portugal trip, where should I go?
Yeah.
What cities should I see?
Well, all of them. So if you like beaches and you just all you want to do is sit in on a towel all day, then by all means go to the Algarve where everyone else goes. If you like culture and architecture, then I would suggest Lisbon, Porto, Braga, Guimarães, which are in the north a bit more. But yeah, but the country is very diverse, even though it's a very small country, but it's very diverse even in culture because of all the different invasions and occupations over the centuries.
Right.
Food is, so if you are on a diet, don't come. Best only come when you can eat, because food will also be a thing, because there is a lot of them and also very good.
Nice. Okay, now I just have to find the contact at the Portuguese Tourism Ministry or something, so that they...
Well, just ring me up and we'll organize something.
Oh, I'll have them sponsor this podcast. That's what I mean.
Oh, right. Okay. That's sneaky way to do it.
Now let's go from the Portuguese seafood back to gaming, but more on a general basis. If you're not playing yourself X3 or X4, what are you playing these days? What are you spending your gaming time with?
Like movies, I'll play pretty much anything that doesn't have zombies. I'm not a very fan of zombies, so I play pretty much anything I like: strategy games, RPGs. So lately, I've been playing a lot of Stellaris with some friends. Mm-hmm. RimWorld, we're playing a multiplayer mod on RimWorld. We like for the shenanigans. I got Assassin's Creed Odyssey the other day, which I'm playing mm-hmm. a bit, which is fun. But I usually, if I see something that is interesting, I'll have a look at least and, you know, give it a go, because again, if you only buy the games you think you like, you will miss out on a few gems.
Right.
But yeah, I would play pretty much anything. If it catches my eye, I will give it a go. I like a lot of puzzle games. Yeah, strategy games are probably my preference. But I will play survival games, for example. Valhalla is very popular these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, even though it's not my main genre, but I still find it interesting for the game mechanics. And I just like to have a look and see how the game works.
And the zombie thing, is that something that is restricted to games or also to movies and books and any other format of entertainment?
Yeah, I like thrillers. I don't like horror movies, for example.
Uh-huh, okay.
I like interesting thrillers. For example, I was just watching A Quiet Place 2. Since Quiet Place 1 was one of my favorites uh-huh. Of the last few years. Yeah, so I don't mind. I like thrillers, but I just don't like cheap scares. And
yeah.
I don't mind the one or the other zombie game, but if zombies are just there for the hordes, I don't find them interesting. Because I liked Half-Life, and that has some quote-unquote zombie stuff in it, but the gameplay is just singular that it's worth it.
So generally rather broad genre yeah. taste, let's say. And but if you would have to do like a top five list of the last, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, what's definitely not to miss?
Oh, yeah. That's a hard question, because there aren't that many really great games in the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there are some good ones. I mean, Mass Effect was probably one of the top ones. StarCraft 2. And then we start to have problems. Obviously the X games, but I'm not counting those. Those are kind of part of my life anyway, even before Microsoft. There are some good gems, like KSP was really fun. Surviving Mars, I find, was very interesting, but you know, it's not like the ones that you go with or dream about it, like Myst or Riven or stuff like that. From back in the day.
Okay.
I think it also maybe due to the fact that we have so many games that it's hard for games to have this type of impact that, you know, games used to have when you played maybe one or two games a year or three, and now you play 20, maybe 30 games a year.
Mm.
So probably more related to that than to to the games themselves.
I mean, in the end, it's always majorly a matter of personal taste too, right? I mean,
That as well.
Me personally, I'm more the guy who prefers playing more games that are shorter rather than less games that are longer. Mm. But you know, I'm pretty happy about the wide selection that is there today, and it's becoming bigger and bigger, right? There are more and more games coming out every day, and it's sometimes hard for people for these games to find their audience. But it's definitely an interesting time.
Yes, I feel for these people that really struggle to, you know, get any attention.
Right.
Because the flood is sometimes really, it's hard. And but I guess with streaming and stuff like that, some people have found ways to get noticed. But again, sometimes a game is nice to watch someone play. And then when you play it yourself, it's half as fun. Did you have that experience?
Well, I've, to be perfectly honest, I've never been a big fan of Let's Plays or live streams myself. Like that's not how I discover my next game.
Okay.
What I really like right now is, so first off, I'm a console player, right?
What?
I've always been a console player.
Let's end this podcast right now. No, just kidding.
I mean, I have played PC games, of course, in the past too. Like, but my PC gaming was very genre specific, so it would be stuff like the Anno series.
Oh yes.
Or Anstoß, like those old school German football management games and stuff like that.
Yes.
But so generally, I'm more of a console player, and I'm really loving right now what Microsoft is doing with the Xbox Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
where you have a subscription thing, right? And coming back to the whole discovery topic,
mm-hmm.
I am playing so many games right now that I would probably have never played a couple of years ago because I had no idea that they were there. And these guys are being put into the Game Pass and get millions of people checking their game out, which is really neat.
Yeah. Yes, I guess it also plays into the you prefer shorter bursts of games.
Yeah, definitely. So,
that plays a lot into that.
But I mean, that's also a matter of taste, right? Some people really don't like any subscription models generally. And again, there's a wide variety of services and options there for everybody.
No, it's a good, I think it's a good system that gives, yeah, as you said, it gives exposure to games that maybe people would not otherwise have found.
Yeah.
Because, it's basically like the Netflix of
pretty
of
much,
gaming,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. You know, you have these first-party games that stay in there, but then the third-party stuff is being is on a rotation, basically, just like the stuff on Netflix.
Mm.
But, yeah. Okay, now that I've... this was probably our last chat ever, now that you... totally disrespect me because of my console history.
Well, I'm going to get flack for that as well. I know. But anyway, I know it was a joke. People, get over.
Oh,
it.
I'm pretty sure that that most of the X players will be on your side on that.
All right. Yes, I have that. Okay.
We'll see in the comments. Yeah. All right, Kat. Thanks for the chat, and have a great rest of the week.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and have a nice day as well.
I hope you enjoyed that chat with Ketra, and I'd be very interested to see and read your feedback on adding some personal touches to the chats. Is that something you like, or do you think it's out of place? Let us know in the comments, and I'll see how we handle this in the future. Please subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast app, or find us on youtube.com/egosoft, where you can also like this episode, and subscribe to our channel. Consider writing a review for X4 Foundations on Steam or GOG if you haven't already. It really does help. Thanks for tuning in, and talk to you soon for the next episode of the Inside EgoSoft podcast. This is Greg, signing off.